Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And the subject tonight, a word to those who seek the Lord. A word to those who seek the Lord. I would caution you, as I have spoken to my own heart, don't take for granted that because you're a member of this church that you have found the Lord. Don't take for granted because you are a preacher or a deacon or an elder or a Sunday school teacher or because you've been in the church for years that you've found the Lord. You may not even be a seeker. I want you to listen to the message tonight. I'm going to identify those who seek the Lord, and I'm going to talk about why they seek Him and how they seek Him and what happens when they do. And I have a word for everybody here. Your eternal soul is too important and eternity is too long for you to take for granted that you know the Lord, that you found Him, and die in presumption and hear Him say, "I never knew you. But Lord, we preached, I never knew you. But we cast out devils in your name, I never knew you. But we have done many wonderful works in your name, I never knew you. Depart from me." Now he said here in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, "And you shall seek me. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart." Now, men and women by nature do not seek God, contrary to what men may believe. The Scripture is very plain on this subject. Men by nature do not seek God. The Scripture says the natural mind is enmity against God. The natural mind is an enemy of God. Romans chapter 3 says there's none that seek God. There's none that understandeth. They're altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Isaiah wrote, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We do not seek God." John said in chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, "This is condemnation. Light is coming to this world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." Paul said in Philippians 2:21, "All seek their own." They don't seek God. They don't seek God's will. They seek their own. The Scripture's plain on this subject. If I'm seeking the Lord tonight, it's not because I by nature want Him. It's not because I by nature desire Him. If you're seeking the Lord tonight, it is not an act of the natural man. But many precious promises are made to those who do seek the Lord. I want to be a seeker. I want above all things to seek the Lord. To be able to say with David, "My heart, my soul panteth after thee, the living God. My soul crieth out for thee, the living God." In the book of Psalms alone, listen to all these promises to those who seek the Lord. "They shall praise the Lord that seek Him." Psalms 9, verse 10, "Thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them that seek Thee." Psalm 34, 10, "They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Psalm 40, verse 16, "Let all that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee." Psalm 119, 2, "Blessed are they that seek the Lord with their whole heart." And our Lord said in Matthew 7, "Seek and ye shall find. Seek and ye shall find." So when we find a person who manifests enough interest in his soul and in the things of God to desperately and wholeheartedly and in scriptural language, Charlie, violently seek the Lord. When we find a sinner who manifests enough interest in his soul, I know you're interested in your body. We had a healing service tonight. We'd have 10 times this many people here. I know men are interested in gold and silver. If we were giving $10 bills to everybody who came in the building tonight, this building and 10 more like it wouldn't hold the crowd. But somewhere in this land, there is somebody who's interested in his soul. And he has enough interest in his soul and in the things of God to desperately and earnestly and sincerely, with all his heart, seek the Lord, whatever the cost. And it's a general principle running all the way through this book. I've read you the scripture, that those who seek the Lord find him. Find him. It's a general principle that runs throughout this book that a blessing is about to come on those who seek the Lord with all their heart. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They'll be filled. They'll be filled. Now I speak not of those who are satisfied with religion, who are satisfied to go through the form of prayer, who are satisfied to go through a form of worship, who are satisfied to have a form of godliness. There's no heart there at all. You can't say they're seeking the Lord with all their hearts. There's no heart in it. It's a form of prayer. It's a form of worship. It's a form of godliness. Having a form of godliness but denying the power, the apostle said. I speak not of those who are content to live two lives, one for God and another for themselves. This is a double heart. I speak not of those who are deceived and being deceived, professing what they do not possess, and they know it, claiming what they've never experienced, and they know it, professing to have what they never had, and they know it. This is dishonest religion, and it damns everybody who embraces it. This is a false heart. I speak not to those who have no heart or who have a double heart, who have a false heart. I speak to those who seek the Lord with all their heart. I speak to those tonight who are seeking the Lord like the harlot sought him, with tears of repentance, finding her way into that hall where Christ was at dinner with the Pharisee. Stooping and creeping between the people, she came to his feet as he lay stretched out on the pillows. And oh, she began to sob and to cry and began to weep, and the tears fell from her eyes and covered his feet, and she saw that the water was dropping on his feet and the dust was caking and running, for the man had given him no water to wash his dusty feet when he came in the house. So she took her hair, the pride of her womanhood, and she began to dry those feet and wipe the tears off his dusty feet, seeking him with all her heart. I speak to those who, like blind Bartimaeus, will not be denied, who keep crying out, though men say, hold your peace, don't get excited. Christ is not going to do anything for you. Thou son of David, don't you leave here till you have mercy on me. Who seek the Lord like Jacob, who said, Lord, I will not let you go till you bless me. I speak to those who, like the woman with the issue of blood, knowing that Christ was her only hope, said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get to him, I'll be made whole. I speak to those who, like the leper, who ran down and fell at his feet and worshipped him and cried, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. O God, lead me to seek thee, and seeking thee to find thee, and finding thee to love thee, and loving thee to glorify thee. Well, I'll take religion if God's given it out. You won't take it that way. Well, I'll let God save me if he's in the saving business. Not that way. Well, I'll let God heal me. I'll let God cleanse me. I'll let God put my name in the book of life. You won't let God do anything. You'll seek him with all your heart or you will not find him. Now, three questions that I want to ask about those tonight who seek the Lord. And as I say, I'm not speaking to those who are satisfied with religion, who are satisfied with a little empty profession of faith and the memorization of a few scriptures and doctrines. I've nothing for you. I speak not to those who claim to have what they've never experienced and profess to have what they've never known. If you're content with that type of religion, I have nothing for you. I speak not to those who are deceiving and being deceived. I speak to those who are seeking the Lord. It is the beat of your heart. It is the bent of your will. It is the cry of your soul. O Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Why do such seek the Lord? Why do they seek the Lord? What's happened? What's taken place to lead a man to do what he does not by nature want to do? What has taken place? Why do men seek the Lord? And secondly, whom do they seek? What do they seek? And thirdly, how do they seek Him? That's my word, the seekers. There may be some here tonight. I believe there are. I believe some people here tonight, like Jacob, who will cry, Lord, I just will not let Thee go except Thou bless me. Whatever it costs me, whatever it takes, give me Christ or I die. I must have Christ. Who can say with the Apostle Paul, I count all things but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Oh, that I may know Him, that I may know Him, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Why do such seek the Lord? Well, here's the first reason. They seek Him because God hath awakened them. God hath quickened them. Now let's put the glory, give the glory to the one to whom it's due. Left to ourselves, we'd go the way of all flesh. Left to ourselves, we'd never call on God. Left to ourselves, we'd never seek the Lord. Left to ourselves, we'd be content in our blindness and deadness and darkness, wouldn't we? It says in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'd like for you to turn with me to this scripture. Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning with verse 1. It describes us here, every one of us, and you, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, just like everybody else. But God, who is rich in mercy. It didn't say, but I had a change of heart. It didn't say, but I was smarter than somebody else. It doesn't say, but I got weary of the way of the sinner. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were in that condition, hath quickened us together with Christ. Thy people, David wrote, Thy people, O God, shall be willing to seek Thee in the day of Thy power. The Lord Jesus turned to the disciples and said, whom do you say that I am? The folks out there were saying, well, he's some great prophet. He's John the Baptist, risen from the dead. He's Elijah. He's Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Christ said, blessed are you, Peter. Blessed are you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. I say tonight, if I am seeking the Lord, it's because the Lord sought me. If I am seeking the Lord, it's because the Lord awakened me. If I am seeking the Lord, it's because the Lord put that will and that desire in my heart. He gets all the glory for even my desire to worship Him and to know Him. I was out on the broad road of sin and despair, crushed neath my burdens, my sorrows and care. My constant companions were trouble and doubt, till Jesus reached down and lifted me out. I was building my home on dry, shifting sand, weary, wandering in a cold, barren land. You're doomed now for A, I heard Satan shout. Then Jesus reached down, and He lifted me out. Why do men seek the Lord? It's because God made them willing. Why do men seek the Lord? It's because God awakened them. God quickened them. It's because God Almighty came where they were and aroused them. If you tonight have determined that you're not a sincere seeker of the Lord, I'd cry out, oh God, awaken me.
Oh, God, show me my need. Oh, God, disturb me. Don't let me die unwarned and unconcerned and indifferent. If it's a burden for you to read the Word of God, I'd cry out of my heart tonight. I'd say, Lord, make that book live for me before I die. If it's a chore for you to fall upon your knees and call on God, I'd say, Lord, don't let me die indifferent and unconcerned and go to hell. Disturb me. Trouble me. Do something for me. Because He's the one who does it. You who were dead hath He quickened. He quickened. And then the second reason why they seek the Lord is this. God hath awakened them, and secondly, they've been made to see. They've been made to understand their dreadful condition. Those who are seeking the Lord are those who have discovered that they need to seek Him. That they've been separated from God because of what? S-I-N. David said, your sins have separated you from God, and nothing will ever be right till you get back to God. Your conscience won't be right. Your heart won't be right. Your home won't be right. Your job won't be right. Your marriage won't be right. Your family won't be right. Nothing's going to be right till you get right with God. That's so. Sin has separated you from God. You're like a sheep out in the wilderness away from the fold. You're like the prodigal son eating the husk from the pig pen. You're like a branch severed from the vine of life, withered, fit only for the burning. You're like a leper outside the camp crying, unclean, unclean, unclean. That's you. Your sins have separated you from God. And the man who seeks the God is the man who knows that. He knows that. I am so desperately weary of hearing people, especially preachers, talk about folks being good, moral people. I was watching the television this morning, and I heard a preacher talking about Nicodemus. And he said Nicodemus came to the Lord. And Nicodemus was a good moral man. And the Lord said, but Nicodemus, all you need is to be born again. If Nicodemus was a good moral man, so help me, he didn't need to be born again. The man who seeks God is the man who realizes that with all his religion, he's still a sinner. With all of his morality, he's still separated from God. With all of his so-called fleshly righteousness, he's still a wiggling maggot in God's sight. If you don't see that, you'll have to go to hell. Now, that's all there is to it. And I hate to be so plain, but that's the only way I know to describe it. The Word of God calls sinners a worm. He said, thou worm, Jacob, and the word there is wiggling maggot. Right out of the dead carcass of the dead horse that the buzzards have picked, that's where you are, a wiggling maggot in God's sight. Despised and rejected and separated, unholy, unclean. And when you realize that, what do? You start seeking the Lord. When they found out they had no city to dwell in, they cried unto the Lord. When they found out that their bread they were eating was poison, they cried to the Lord. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them, and they cried to the Lord. And that's when He delivered them. Why do men seek the Lord? Because God in sovereign mercy, because God in sovereign grace, because God in fulfilling His sovereign glory came and awakened them and showed them where they were, in the pit, in the miry clay, in the very cesspool of iniquity, unclean. And they began to seek the Lord. Why do they seek the Lord? I'll tell you why. Thirdly, they seek Him because they're weary, oh so weary, oh so weary of modern false religion. The woman with the issue of blood had gone, the Scripture says, to many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and she was no better. That's like the spiritually sick man who goes from synagogue to cathedral to chapel to church to tabernacle to tent meeting to revival, and he tries all these so-called soul physicians, and he's no better. He's no better. And finally she said, I just must get to him. And I'll tell you, when you get tired of all this fleshly false religion, all of these phony recipes for redemption, and all of these phony plans of salvation, when you get weary of them, when you've tried everything and they've all failed, I point you to Christ. Oh, come to him. Come to him. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? There's nothing in the form. We've tried it. There's nothing in the holy days. We've tried them. There's nothing in the ceremony. We've tried them. There's nothing in the law. We've tried it. There's nothing in the religious synagogues. We've tried them. To whom shall we go? We tried the law, and it speaks nothing but condemnation. We tried the altar, and it gave no life. We tried the doctrine, the preacher, the church. We read the scripture. We prayed. We've made decisions. But none of these things will fill our empty hearts. Oh, God, deny me what you will. Only ease me of my guilt. Broken at thy feet I lie. I cry, give me Jesus Christ or I'll die. That's the place they've come to who seek the Lord. Who are these who seek the Lord? Why do they seek him? Because God hath awakened them. God hath taken their eyes off the shiny vanities of this world and turned their eyes upon the world to come. God hath awakened them to their distance from him. They're separated from him. They're sinners. One old Puritan said, a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him so. There are not many of them. Now you say everybody's a sinner. Are you? Well, I'm not a bad sinner. But everybody's a sinner. Are you? Well, there's sinners worse than I am. Well, everybody's a sinner. Are you? Are you? Well, a lot of things I haven't done. Everybody's a sinner. Are you? I hadn't found one yet. When I find one, you know who? What he'll be doing? He'll be seeking the Lord. Because God never saves a man till he gets him lost. God never clothes a man till he strips him. God never raises a man till he slays him. There aren't many sinners. Genuine, unadulterated, bona fide sinners. Unholy, unclean. Who cry, Lord, damn me if you will. You'd be just in doing so. But Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. They come to God with a rope around their neck. They come to God having signed their own condemnation papers. They come to God giving glory to God for his judgments. They seek the Lord. All right, whom do they seek? Well, our text says, seek, ye shall seek me. And you shall find me. When you search for me, I have people who frequently call me. Say, I want to talk to you. Say, what about? Got some questions I want you to answer. I wish I could say to folks what is really on my heart, but we must be gentle and kind. Don't seek the answer to questions. Seek Christ. Seek Christ. That's what's wrong with the whole religious world. The object of our search is a person, not the answer to a question. Now get what I'm saying, and this is where the world's missing the gospel. Listen to these men of God. My soul thirsteth for God, not for information, for God. For the living God. David wrote, oh, that I might find him, that I knew where I might find him. Listen to Paul. Oh, that I might win Christ. Oh, that I might know him. My friends, men seek an experience. But that's the wrong object of your search. Christ is our joy. Christ is our peace. Christ is our rest. And finding Him, we have these things. Men seek forgiveness. What do you want? I want forgiveness of my sin, no matter how you can get it. If forgiveness is given for baptism, we'll be baptized. If forgiveness is given for tithing, we'll tithe. If forgiveness is given for something else, we'll do it. Don't seek forgiveness. Seek Him who is our sacrifice, our sin offering. If we have Him, we have forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Do you see what I'm saying? You shall seek me and find me when you search for me, he said. Men seek a feeling. Oh, preacher, if I could just get rid of these doubts and fears. Anyway, well, you can go to a psychiatrist and he'll help you get rid of your doubts and fears. You can adopt some kind of false religion, positive thinking, get rid of your doubts and fears. I don't want to get rid of my doubts and fears. I want to know Him. Men seek a relationship with God. Christ is our mediator, and having Him, we have a relationship with God. Men seek a righteousness. I am not seeking a righteousness. I'm seeking a person. And when I have Him, I have that righteousness. Men are seeking an eternal home. They're seeking eternal life. They don't care how they get it. But my friends, Christ is our life. I wish I could make clear what I'm saying here, because it's the most important part of the whole message. This is where false religion deceives people. They have an experience and call it salvation. They get a feeling and call it salvation. They turn over a new leaf and reform their lives and quit certain sins and call it salvation. They join a church and get busy serving God and call it salvation. They spend a certain time during the day in prayer and read their Bibles a certain length of time and God answers a prayer to them, they call it salvation. Salvation's a person. It's a person. Christ said, "This is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." He that hath the Son hath life. Not he that hath an experience. Not he that hath a feeling. Not he that hath a good moral life. He that hath the Son. Do you know Him? You don't find Him, do you seek Him? And you don't find Him, do you seek Him with all your heart? And you don't find Him till He's the one object of your search. And when you find Him, you have everything. I'm complete in Him. You have comfort in time of sorrow. You have joy in time of mourning. You have a companion who walks with you and talks with you along life's narrow way. You have redemption. You have sanctification. You have righteousness. You have all things in Christ when you get to Him. I just know. I've been in this thing long enough to know this, that most people are given by Satan and satanic spirits a substitute for Christ. And they don't get to Christ. They stop short of Christ. Judas was in the church and he had all these things that men have today, but he didn't have Christ. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And that's when these things lose their attractiveness to us, is when we find one who's more attractive. That's when these things lose their glory for us, when we find Him who is the chief glory. That's when we tear up our blueprints, when we discover He is a so much better. That's when we lose all of our so-called ambitions. It's when we find out to be like Him is my sole ambition. My sole ambition. That's when you can stop preaching on tithing. That's when you can stop passing out pledge cards. That's when you can stop trying to bribe people to come to church. That's when you can quit trying to get people to witness and trying to get them to read their Bible and trying to get them. You can quit all that stuff when they find the Lord. Because one who knows Him can't help but talk to Him. One who knows Him can't help but love Him. One who knows Him can't help but live for His glory. Now the third question I close. How do they seek the Lord? Why do they seek Him? Because God's awakened them. And God's shown them their guilt and their sin and the fact that they're so far away from Him. That God has shown them the false foundation of this world's religion. They're unsatisfied, dissatisfied. They've got to have Christ. And whom do they seek? Him. And they're not going to stop short of Him. They're not going to take your assurance that they're saved. They're not going to let you talk them into a profession of faith. They don't want that. They want Christ. And how do they seek Him? Now listen to me quickly. With all your heart. Now when the Word of God talks about seeking the Lord with all your heart, it means more than your emotions. It means, first of all, to seek Him with the understanding. That Ethiopian eunuch was coming from Jerusalem going home, and he was reading Isaiah 53. Philip walked up beside the chariot and heard him reading. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and so forth. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, except somebody show me?" Philip said, "What?" He said, "Do you understand?" The true minister of God is not willing to get a profession of faith out of a man who doesn't understand. He's not willing to stand over the casket, as I've seen preachers do it, of a dead mother and say to a rebellious son, "Did you love your mother?" "Yes, I did." "Your mother gone to heaven?" "Yes, sir, she's gone to be with the Lord." "Are you saved?" "No, sir." "Do you want to meet mother?" "Well, yes, sir, I do." "Will you take my hand and believe on Jesus and you'll meet mother?" "Well, I guess so." "You're saved." No honest preacher of the gospel ever pull a trick like that. Because he wants people to understand. Understand. Philip said, "Do you understand?" A committal of Christ involves an understanding of what? An understanding of sin. An understanding of God's righteousness. An understanding of Christ's sacrifice. An understanding of who Christ is and what He did and why He did it. And the true minister of Christ is willing to preach to a man and preach to him and preach to him till he comes to that understanding. The Scripture says the Son of God hath come and given us an understanding. Seek Him with the understanding, with the intelligence. And then secondly, seek Him with your will. Scripture says, "Whosoever will, let him take the water of life." Scripture tells us, "Thy people shall be willing." Turn to Luke chapter 14, if you will. Listen to the Lord speaking here. In Luke, the 14th chapter, He said, beginning with verse 27, "Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me can't be my disciple. Now, which of you intending to build a tower doth not sit down first and count the cost, whether you have sufficient material to finish it? Lest haply, after you laid the foundation, you're not able to finish it, and people begin to mock you and say, 'This man began to build, was not able to finish.'" Verse 33, "So likewise, whosoever of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." Now, this thing of a saving relationship with God is more than a sentimental belief in God. This thing of a saving relationship with God is more than a sentimental belief in the death of Christ. This thing of a saving relationship with God is an intelligent committal of the will to Christ. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." Men who seek the Lord seek Him with the understanding. God teaches them. The Scripture says, "No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him, And watch it now. And they shall all be taught of God. He that cometh to me is taught of God. And that's the reason I say to people here in this congregation, they come and they hear the gospel, I say to them, keep on coming, keep on listening. Keep on listening. You've got to have some kind of understanding of who God is and what you are and what you've done and your sin. Some kind of understanding of who Christ is, what Christ did, why he did it, where is he now? What is God's way of redemption? Then secondly, is that what you really want? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to commit your life? It's a committal. It's a total committal to Christ. And if you can't totally commit yourself to Christ, don't you play with it. It'll stay where you are. Scripture says, you know, book of Ecclesiastes, if you start making vows to God, you better be prepared to keep them. You better be prepared to keep them. Over here in Ecclesiastes, verse 5, it says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. He has no pleasure in fools. You better pay that which you vow. Better you shouldn't vow at all that you should vow not pay. You press down this aisle and take my hand and tell people you trust in Christ, and then you leave in 6 months. It'd be better if you hadn't walked that aisle. You see what I'm saying? That's what he's saying here. You come down here and take my hand and say to this congregation, I'm going to live for Christ. You better not be lying. You better not be lying. Because Peter said as they struck Ananias dead and carried him out, Ananias, you didn't lie to me, you lied to God. That's what I'm saying. You wonder why I don't do like these high-pressure preachers and put all this pressure on people and send these soul winners out here to drag them down the aisle, because I don't want people lying to God. And I know 9 out of 10 do. Under this high-pressure evangelism. Seek him with your understanding. Seek him with your will. I'm not afraid to say to a seeking sinner, you sit down now, fella, and count the cost. When you believe on Jesus Christ, when you receive him, you just might lose your family. You just might lose your best friends. In fact, great possibility you will. You just might lose your job. It just might cost you more than you're willing to pay. You just might have to live a life of loneliness. God just might send you to China as a missionary. Now, you better sit down and decide whether or not Christ is everything. And if he's not everything, you just stay away. That's what he said there in Luke 14. You go home and read it again. If you're going to build a tower, you sit down and count the cost. Seek him how? Turn to Luke 13. Luke 13, quickly. It says here in verse 23, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said, strive to enter in. Strive to enter in. Your wholehearted energy. For many, I say, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. The object to be gained is eternal life. It's worthy of my undivided attention. The danger and evil from which I escape is eternal damnation. It's worthy of my utmost energy. The greatness of the mercy which I seek is the pardon of all my sin. Perfect righteousness in Christ, adoption into the family of God. Is not this worth my life? How do you seek the Lord? You seek him with the understanding. The eunuch said, Philip, I don't understand. I don't understand. And Philip sat down and taught him. You seek him with your will. Are you willing? Are you willing to stand alone? Are you willing to stand and be counted? Are you willing to live for the glory of God? Are you willing for Christ to be your master, whatever it costs? Don't come if you're not. Don't come. Don't make a profession. God will hold you to it. Seek him with all your energy. And let me ask this question. This has always been a disturbing thought to me. How do we dare approach God with any less than our best? I don't understand it. I don't understand how we can dare approach the supreme God of the universe with any less than wholehearted, sincere effort. When a man comes here to speak, how can he give any less than his best? When a person is called on to teach a class, these little children. I've known Sunday school teachers through my life. That's the reason I've been so upset with Sunday schools. I've known Sunday school teachers through my life. If they were going to speak to a meeting of a civic club, they'd study all week. But somebody gave them a group of junior boys to teach the things of God, and about 11:30 on Saturday night, they start looking up something to teach them. How in the name of God can a person approach the supreme God of the universe or seek to serve him with anything less than our very best, huh? So I'm telling you this, if we're going to seek the Lord, old Barnard used to say he'd be Lord of all or he won't be Lord at all. It's going to be with my whole heart. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, you can stop at all the junctions and you can get off with train wherever you want to. But I pray that somebody here, somebody of my acquaintance, somebody of my fellowship will be determined, sink or swim, to go to him. I'm going to get to Christ. When pangs of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried, till Jesus came and made me whole, I will not be denied. As Jacob in the days of old, I wrestle with the Lord, and instant with a courage bold, I stand upon his word. Old Satan said, the Lord's gone. He's not going to hear your prayer, but praise the Lord. The work is done, and Christ my Lord is here. I will not be denied. I will not be denied. Till Jesus comes and makes me whole, I will not be denied. Can you say that? Well, to those who can say that, I can say this. You'll find him. You'll find him. But not with half a heart. Not with a double heart. Not with a false heart. When you search for him with all your heart, he's worth it. He's worth it. Our Father in heaven, take away from us every ambition except to know Christ, every desire except to be conformed to his image. O Lord, humble us down in the dust. Let us be willing to be nothing. To have nothing, only to have Christ. For when we have him, we have all things. When we have him, we have the hope of glory, life eternal. Move on the heart of some people in this congregation to make it the very goal of their existence, to win Christ and be found in him, to know him and the power of the resurrected life, to be delivered from self. For it's in his name we pray and for his sake. Amen.